I need a. Okay. I need a volunteer this morning to come and join me up here on the platform. Just need a volunteer. Isaac, okay? Isaac, come on up. I just saw you. You got this blue thing going on there, so I saw that. Come on. Come on up. Yeah. Just stand right over here if you wouldn't mind. Thanks. Actually, I need one more. Somebody else. Okay, Bio's already like halfway up, okay? And Rory, you know, you've put your hand up twice, so come on. You know what? It's all guys, though. That's not. Okay, Bio's pointing to Rory. So Rory, come up. And I need a female. First hand was Jess. Come up here. All right. Now, Jess and Rory, I'm not sure. This, you know, you have to think about this. Okay. All right, just stand. Have you guys practiced this with me, or is this no? Okay. Right. So this is not us. So here, where's that? Right. Don't drop. There you go. All right. See, I want to have two green and a red so that it balanced out and was even. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is simply receive this gift from me, which you have already done, and then I want you to open it, and I want you to open it all together. There's no saving paper like for folding for another gift. Just open the things and throw the paper on the. And just throw the paper on the floor. Yeah. Right. See, now Rory and Jess, from the same family, you have two, so you're going to have to decide, you know, what you do with yours, given the theme of what we're speaking about this morning. Thanks. Go ahead. You're welcome. You can go sit down. Yeah, thanks. Serving was last week, giving is this week. Yeah, Mary, question, does Bio do that at home? Yeah, okay, all right. Now, you know, for the rest of you, when I ask for a volunteer on Christmas Sunday morning, like, don't hold back. It's a good time to respond, because there's some of you going, oh, I should have volunteered. All right, yeah. Listen, I've heard several times in recent weeks that this is the season for giving. I hear that on the radio. I hear it different places. I hear that this is the season. It's called the season for giving, and so I wanted to give. And the season for giving. You know, there are a whole lot of references and things about the whole Christmas story. You know, and the birth of Jesus about giving. We hear that constantly. I'd like to believe, I don't know if it says anything, I don't think it does, but I'd like to believe that the innkeeper didn't charge Joseph and Mary for their stay in the barn. I'd like to think that he gave them a place when there was none and not said, oh, you know, I've got nothing for you, but here's the barn, and charge them. You know, I'd like to believe that he gave them that space. The birth of Jesus is a story of God giving his son to be born to this world. We've heard that this morning already. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, and a couple times this has been mentioned this morning. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Talking about Jesus. I like what James 1:17 says. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God loves to give good gifts. Of course, the wise men, we've seen that mentioned a couple times already this morning, they brought gifts. Shepherds and angels and wise men gave their worship. Christmas is about celebrating the greatest Christmas gifts of all that God's given to us, salvation and forgiveness and joy and peace and hope. A guy named Ron Mail wrote a book called Love Found a Way, and this is a quote out of his book in talking about Christmas in this time of year. He says, this time of year never fails to excite me because God, the real gift giver, found a way to love, to bless, and to care for people like me, he writes. While the world has made Christmas a commercial, non-sacred event, he says, I refuse to become cynical or allow what others do to strip my favorite day of its true meaning. For me, he writes, the bells I hear at Christmas announce the glorious truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. From Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem to the shepherds in the fields, the angels in the heavens, and a bright star in the sky, God's love found a way to package it all in just the right way at just the right moment. And realizing that God held nothing back, he pulled out all the stops and used the mighty resources of heaven to give the greatest gift of all, ought to give us fresh reason to celebrate his birth, no matter how the world tries to twist or gloss over the truth. End of quote. Well, over the past two Sundays, we've noted in our series Uncluttered that while Christmas should be a time of joy and celebration, sometimes it's a source of stress and burden between decorating and shopping and cooking and party planning and party attending and kids programs and family visits and a bunch of other things. The Christmas season can blow through our lives like a gust of wind and leave us exhausted. And it's not just the Christmas season itself. It's the season on top of all the things that already occupy and demand our time and attention. And so how can we move maybe through or beyond all this clutter and actually enjoy the true beauty and meaning of Christmas? And today, perhaps you've already mastered this. But as we think about it for a few moments today, I think the secret to an uncluttered Christmas, and we've been saying this over the last few weeks, is to make room for what God says really matters. And as you continue to prioritize your Christmas schedule, and there's still a schedule to go, and the rest of your holiday time, it makes sense to ensure that our priorities line up with Jesus, the one whom we're celebrating. As you look at his life, you quickly discover that along with relationships, that was week one, and along with making room for serving, giving was near the top of his list. And so if you want to follow Jesus' example, we need to make room and allowance in our lives for giving, not just during the Christmas season, but throughout the year. I mean, obviously, a big part of Christmas season is giving. We exchange gifts with family and friends and co-workers, and often we make an annual contribution toward our favorite charity. But sometimes, if we're not careful, sometimes our giving, it can get caught up in, it sounds so condescending, the word, but it can get caught up in materialism. In competition, or sometimes it just becomes an obligation. So how do we make sure we're really giving the way Jesus would have us do? Well, what I want to do is just take a few moments this morning, this Christmas Sunday, and consider a story about some givers who are associated with the birth of Jesus, and maybe pick up some encouragement from their example. One of the things we see about these givers at the Christmas story is that they certainly gave of their time. In the New Testament, we read the amazing story of a group of wise men, magi, who traveled a great distance to visit young Jesus and give him gifts. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 2 says this: After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Apparently, these Eastern wise men who were philosophers and astrologers, they saw a symbol in the sky, or they saw a star in the sky that caused them to make a long journey to the small backwoods village of Bethlehem. They didn't know the details of what they'd find, but they believed that the one represented by this star was valuable and worthy enough to make a long, often dangerous trip to worship him and bring him gifts. Do you know that one of the best ways to show someone you value them is to give them your time? One of the best ways that you can show someone that you value them is to give them your time. Time is a valued commodity in our society today. There are many studies and surveys that people say, "I'd rather give money than time." Time is a valued commodity. When we give the gift of time, it speaks loudly. And Christmas is a great time to intentionally plan some time, maybe lunch, maybe coffee, maybe a stop at church on the way through on your travels as you head out to Port Rowan today. Thank you. Maybe it's lunch, maybe coffee, maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's an email or a message of some kind that says you are taking time to think of and connect with someone. I was driving in this morning and I just turned the radio on. I just listened, I forget what it was. And there was a little spot that came on that said, I don't know, some psychologist guy was on and he was talking about some stuff. And it was just a little spot. And he said, one of the most valuable things you could do during this time of year, this season, is to give of your time. He says, just, I don't know if anybody does this anymore. Some of you might write a letter. Right? I call it an email. But write something. Write a note. Send it to someone. Email it. Mail it. Show them that you're thinking about them. Folks, be as generous with your time as you can. But along with your time, make sure you give in other meaningful ways too. Be generous with your talent. Be generous with your talent and your ability. God's word tells us that we're to be generous with our talents, our abilities, and our spiritual gifts. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you, that's like each of you. That's like every one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. What a challenge. I mean, obviously, there was some talent, some ability that enabled these wise men, these magi, to be aware that something was different, something was in the sky, that a new star had appeared, and they put that together with something that they knew about prophecy, and they used that ability to track and to travel so that they could worship this special newborn. And we're called to use our talents and abilities in order to worship Jesus by serving him and serving others too. We also see quite obviously that they were generous with their treasures, their gifts to Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 to 11 continues the wise man's story. It says, "And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was." That'd be crazy star. Do you know, like, when you're trying to, like, catch up to something in the sky, and you say, I want to keep driving and follow the sunset. There's not a chance you're going to keep up with that. So, like, how do you know exactly when the star stops? I guess you kind of guess it's Bethlehem. There's something going on. But they followed it until it stopped over the place where the child was. That would be cool. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gifts they brought weren't only valuable, they were meaningful. We don't know all the real symbolism behind their gifts. There have been things suggested, but we know that each one had significance. And I guess, like the wise men, I think our giving should be purposeful and meaningful too. That doesn't mean that it has to be expensive. But it does mean that we should give consideration to our giving. I mean, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided, thought about, considered in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Our giving should be something we think about and generous. We should also be generous with what really matters. We should give to what Jesus would care about. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Jesus cares about the local church, and we're encouraged in the Bible to give financially to things like our local church, to missionaries, and to other causes that genuinely serve others and share God's truth and love. Maybe most importantly, we need to make sure we're generous with the real center of Christmas, and that's Jesus. Don't forget that the real purpose of the wise men's journey was to worship Jesus. Back in Matthew 2:11, we read that, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. You see, their priority was to worship, and then they gave their gifts. And I would just suggest to you this morning that if you really want to honor Jesus and ensure that he doesn't get lost in all the clutter of Christmas, intentionally spend some time, as we have this morning, worshiping him and connecting with him. I know we've got schedules. I know there's places we need to be. But we can do that outside of here too. And sometimes we just find songs welling up in our hearts. I'm sure you'll find that today as you go. And those things, even those times, are just time to worship in our own hearts and talk to him. If you really want to honor Jesus and ensure that he doesn't get lost in all the clutter of Christmas, spend time worshiping him. Make sure that you not only spend quality time with loved ones, but also with him. In prayer, maybe in his word, the Bible. And make sure that you aren't just a generous giver with friends and family, but also with Jesus. It's his birthday after all. And so I just say to you this morning, let's be sure to give of ourselves to him to make room for Jesus in us. And we do that by trusting him for salvation, living our lives to honor him and helping others to know him so they can make room for him as well. John 3:16 reminds us of God's ultimate giving. It says this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." You see, like himself, God wants his people, those who follow him, those who call themselves Christ followers, he wants us to be generous givers too. However that might be, whatever that might look like, if we have a heart for God and want to see his kingdom grow, we will be givers. If we want to mature in our faith and really know Jesus on a deeper level, we will be givers. And when the giving of our time, our talent, and treasure becomes a priority in our lives, we will see God do things beyond all we could ask or imagine. And we will see our walk with him grow. This morning, I just say to you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenges and the direction and the leading in your word this morning. And just as we've just briefly for a few moments considered the idea of what it means in our uncluttered, as much as that's possible, Christmas, to make room for relationships, to make room for serving and in even simple ways. And Father, as we've looked at today, to make room for giving. I thank you for the example that we've seen in the wise men, that they traveled so far to first of all worship you, to give gifts, and then they went home, I would imagine, rejoicing. I thank you, Father, for your call to us during this Christmas season to recognize you as not just the baby in the manger, but as our Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray that those thoughts would go through our minds even in these next days as we celebrate, perhaps with family, perhaps with friends. Lord, I pray that we would make room in our lives, that we would make room in our hearts for you. Father, we ask these things. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.